Alright, we're continuing chapter 15 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. And we were, we had just had a dramatic exit of Hermione from the,
Divination
class, yeah. I'm surprised it took her this long to quit the class.
I think she had to be pushed to the brink.
Yeah. I guess she likes academics too much, right?
Mm-hmm.
Alright. The Easter holidays were not exactly relaxing. The third years had never had so much homework. Neville Longbottom seemed close to a nervous collapse, and he wasn't the only one. "Call this a holiday," Seamus Finnegan roared at the common room one afternoon. "The exams are ages away. What are they playing at?" But nobody had as much to do as Hermione. Even without divination, she was taking more subjects than anyone else. She was usually the last to leave the common room at night, first to arrive in the library the next morning. She had shadows like lupins under her eyes and seemed constantly close to tears. I still don't understand why she didn't use the stupid time thing to do homework more often.
I know, or sleep.
Or sleep, yeah. Or both, right? Mm-hmm. Anyways. Ron had taken over responsibility for Buckbeak's appeal. When he wasn't doing his own work, he was poring over enormously thick volumes with names like The Handbook of Hippogriff Psychology, or Foul or Foul, A Study of Hippogriff Brutality. That's spelled F-O-W-L. Okay, anyways. He was so absorbed, he even forgot to be horrible to Crookshanks. Harry, meanwhile, had to fit in his homework around Quidditch practice every day, not to mention endless discussions of tactics with Wood. The Gryffindor-Slytherin match would take place on the first Saturday after the Easter holidays. Slytherin was leading the tournament by exactly 200 points. This meant, as Wood constantly reminded his team, that they needed to win the match by more than that amount to win the cup. It also meant that the burden of winning fell largely on Harry, as it always does, because capturing the Snitch was worth 150 points. "So you must only catch it if we're up more than 50 points," Wood told Harry. "So you must only catch it if we're up more than 50 points," Wood told Harry constantly. "Only if we're up more than 50 points, Harry, or we win the match but lose the cup. You got that, haven't you? You must catch the Snitch only if we're..." "I know, Oliver," Harry yelled. The whole of Gryffindor House was obsessed with the coming match. Gryffindor hadn't won the Quidditch Cup since the legendary Charlie Weasley, Ron's second oldest brother, had been Seeker. But Harry doubted whether any of them, even Wood, wanted to win as much as he did. It's so weird. They play each other once, right? It's like, at least they should play each other twice or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Get some, you know... Yeah, it's silly.
Also, like, only 3 games?
I know. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or at least they should play, like, other schools, maybe, right?
Because there's not, like, schools in the area where it'd be easy to do that.
Yeah.
But, like, it would be easy to play, like, have it be at least twice or 3 times.
Right, like, you play each team twice.
Or three times,
yeah. It would make so much more sense. The enmity between Harry and Malfoy was at its highest point ever. Malfoy was still smarting about the mud-throwing incident at Hogsmeade, and was even more furious that Harry had somehow wormed his way out of punishment. Harry hadn't forgotten Malfoy's attempt to sabotage him in the match against Ravenclaw, but it was the matter of Buckbeak that made him most determined to beat Malfoy in front of the entire school. Never in anyone's memory had a match approached in such a highly charged atmosphere. By the time the holidays were over, the tension between the two teams and their houses was at a breaking point. A number of nasty scuffles broke out in the corridors, culminating in an incident in which a Gryffindor fourth year and a Slytherin sixth year ended up in the hospital wing with leeks spreading out of their ears. That's L-E-E-Ks. Harry was having a particularly bad time of it. He couldn't walk to class without Slytherin sticking out their legs or trying to trip him up. Crabbe and Goyle kept popping up wherever he went, and slouching away, looking disappointed when they saw him surrounded by people. Wood had given instructions that Harry should be accompanied everywhere he went, in case the Slytherins tried to put him out of action. The whole of Gryffindor House took up the challenge enthusiastically, so that it was impossible for Harry to get to classes on time because he was surrounded by a vast, chattering crowd. Harry was more concerned for his firebolt's safety than his own. When he wasn't flying yet, he locked it securely in his trunk and frequently dashed back up to Gryffindor Tower at break times to check that it was still there. All the usual pursuits were abandoned in the Gryffindor common room the night before the match. Even Hermione put down her books. "I can't work, I can't concentrate," she said nervously. There was a great deal of noise. Fred and George Weasley were dealing with the pressure by being louder and more exuberant than ever. Oliver Wood was crouched over a model of a Quidditch field in the corner, prodding little fingers across it with his wand and muttering to himself. Angelina, Alicia... What's that?
Did you say fingers?
Figures. Like, did I say fingers?
It sounded like it.
Oh, sorry. Angelina, Alicia, and Katie were laughing at Fred and George's jokes. Oh, man. They got, I tell you, so freaking much.
So freaking much what?
You know.
Say it.
What if children are listening to this?
Whatever, it's funny.
Man. Do you think they shared?
What?
Do you think they ever shared?
I bet they did.
I bet they did too. Gross. They probably
thought it was funny.
What's that?
They probably thought it was funny.
Yeah. Oh, man. Do you think they ever did, like, two with two?
I don't know.
Or two with three? All Angelina, Alicia, and Katie? Oh, man. Gross. I guess they're so comfortable with each other, right?
That they, yeah.
Probably is not a big deal for them. You know what I'll bet they did? I'll bet that they would do, like, one of them would take a girl home, and then he would be, like, they would be going at it, and then he'd be like, I have to go to the bathroom. He'd go to the bathroom.
And switch,
yeah. I've heard of people actually doing that.
No way.
Yes way.
Who?
Not like people I know, but supposedly this is what, like, this has been done by people.
Okay. I believe it, but that's gross.
Yeah. Anyways.
Moving right along.
Harry was sitting with Ron and Hermione, removed from the center of things, trying not to think about the next day, because every time he did, he had the horrible sensation of something very large was fighting to get out of his stomach. "You're going to be fine," Hermione told him, even though she looked positively terrified. "You've got a firebolt," said Ron. "Yeah," said Harry, his stomach writhing. It came as a relief when Wood suddenly stood up and yelled, "Team, bed!" Harry slept badly. First he dreamed that he had overslept and that Wood was yelling, "Where are you? Where are you? We had to use Neville instead." Then he dreamed that Malfoy and the rest of the Slytherin team had arrived for the match riding dragons. He was flying at breakneck speed, trying to avoid a spurt of flames from Malfoy's steed's mouth, when he realized he had forgotten his firebolt. He fell through the air and woke with a start. It was a few seconds before Harry remembered that the match hadn't taken place yet, and that he was safe in bed and the Slytherin team definitely would not be allowed to play with dragons. He was feeling very thirsty. Quietly as he could, he got out of his bed and went to pour himself some water from the silver jug beneath the window. The grounds were still quiet. No breath of wind disturbed the treetops in the Forbidden Forest. The Whomping Willow was motionless and innocent-looking. It looked as though the conditions for the match would be perfect. Harry set down his goblet and was about to turn back to bed when something caught his eye. An animal of some kind was prowling across the silvery lawn. Harry dashed to his bedside table, snatched up his glasses, and put them on, and then hurried back to the window. It couldn't be the Grim. Not now, not before the match. He peered out of the grounds again, and after a minute's frantic searching, he spotted it. It was skirting the edge of the forest now. It wasn't the Grim. It was a cat. Harry clutched the window ledge in relief as he recognized the bottle brush tail. It was only Crookshanks. Or was it only Crookshanks? Harry squinted, pressing his nose flat against the glass. Crookshanks seemed to have come to a halt. Harry was sure that he could see something else moving in the shadows, too. And just then it emerged, a gigantic, shaggy dog, moving stealthily across the lawn, Crookshanks trotting at its side. Harry stared. What did this mean? If Crookshanks could see the dog as well, how could it be an omen of Harry's death? "Ron," Harry hissed. "Ron, wake up." "Huh? I need you to tell me if you can see something." "It's dark, Harry," Ron muttered thickly. "What are you on about?" "Down here." Harry looked quickly back out the window. Crookshanks and the dog had vanished. Harry climbed out onto the windowsill to look right down into the shadows of the castle, but they weren't there. Where had they gone? A loud snore told him Ron had fallen asleep again. I think with that, we will close for the night, and tomorrow, when they wake up, we will wake up and read about the match.
Wait, is that the end of the chapter?
No, but...
What? You're supposed to end the chapter. You cheater.
No, but there's like 15 pages of some sort of match going on tomorrow.
We'll have to postpone. I want to hear about the match.
We'll hear about it tomorrow, boo. It's super late. I love you so much, Carrie.
Tonight.
Wait. I love you, boo. Let me say goodnight to you in the recording, and I'll say goodnight to you in real life. For you listening later, I love you so much. And even though you're mad at me right now for not finishing it, if you're listening to this later, you probably can go and finish the next one and hear how the match turned out. I love you so much, boo. You're such a sweet girl. Good night.